everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. I am John Scott. I appreciate everybody being here. I hope everybody's having a good week, a good start to your June. Holy moly, it's June. Well, it's June 8th. Secret's out. I'm doing this at night, but we're going to release it tomorrow morning, so don't tell anybody. Shh, I'm having a little whiskey drink here. Just relaxing. It's been a long week, June. I got a busy June. I'll just say that. We got graduation parties. We got stuff going on at church. I got trips. I'm going to Chicago tomorrow. We're doing a family trip to Wisconsin. We got there's a lot of plates spinning. I was just up in Northport. I have a little cottage up there. We're putting in a concrete walkway because my wife wants a concrete walkway because the wood one isn't good enough. So I was ripping out the old wood one, because it's an extra $1,000 or something. The concrete company wants to just take out the wood walkway. And I was like, I can do that. And lo and behold, the whole house is rotted where it's connected to the house. So I just left it. The guys are coming tomorrow with the concrete company. I'm just going to surprise. The house is rotted at the bottom. Fix it. And then I'm going to pay through the nose for it. Probably. But I don't want to deal with it. I'm going to Chicago tomorrow. I've got a little golf game. Got a little talk. I'm a professional speaker. And I think everybody just needs to deal with that. So it's been a busy week. So I'm having a little whiskey. I'm having a little relaxation time by myself in the office. And I'm going to have a little podcast, have a little fun, I hope. Because guess what? Hockey is back and it's fun. This playoff series, this Stanley Cup Finals has been arguably, not even arguably, I will say unequivocally, this has been the best three games so far in a Stanley Cup Finals that I have seen in my lifetime. I've been alive for 42 years. This is unbelievable. These first three games, the drama, the ebbs and flows, the momentum shifts, just toying with our emotions. On the Slack channel, we got a lot of Carolina Hurricanes fans. And I've said it before, you're probably getting sick of it if you're not a part of a Slack channel. I'm just going to keep mentioning it until you join, until you figure out what you're missing out on. But just the sheer roller coaster that those guys are on. It's like you go from game two, you're on a high. Game three, you're suicide watch because your team is just floundering, not playing like yourselves whatsoever. Then all of a sudden the third period hits and boom, you're back to, you know, world beaters. And then you lose in overtime. But we'll get to that in a second. I'm going to start with maybe my favorite story ever. Dylan Larkin, captain of the Detroit Red Wings, has requested a trade from the Detroit Red Wings, an original six team, one of the most storied franchises in hockey. He has requested a trade. Hometown boy. A stone's throw away from Detroit. Grew up a Red Wings fan. Went to University of Michigan. Played at the Universal National Development Team, which is based in Ann Arbor. The guy has not left Michigan his whole life. Drafted by the Detroit Red Wings in the first round. Dreams coming true. All his old buddies, all his friends, his family, all the girls that he liked, he can just go, "Whoa, look at me now, I'm with the Red Wings." Dylan Larkin, the captain of the Detroit Red Wings, has requested a trade. Let that sink in. And I know all of you expected me to spike the ball right when it happened a couple days ago, and I wanted to. Because I think we all know how just harsh, critical I've been of Steve Yzerman during his tenure as GM of the Detroit Red Wings. The Yzer scam, the garbage, the dumpster fire that he has built and just turned around this team. Yeah, right, he's made them worse. And now it culminates with this. Their captain, their franchise player, their guy that they signed to an eight-year, $8.7 million contract 3 years ago has requested a trade. Why? What's changed? 2 months ago, Dylan Larkin gave an interview and he said, quote unquote, "I signed an eight-year deal here because I believe in him," him being Steve Yzerman. What has changed in the last 2 months? I don't know. Nothing with regards to Dylan Larkin. So let's break this down. Why all of a sudden has this guy asked for a trade? And I got thinking. I said, what the hell? It doesn't make sense. Is he sitting back watching the playoffs and going, we should be there. That should be us. We should be the Vegas Golden Knights. Or we're better than the Carolina Hurricanes. We could have been there if we would have made a couple different moves. Do you think that's what he's doing? Maybe. I will tell you where this little seed started to grow. And it's been growing for a while. I think it's been well documented. 2 years ago, he was critical with Steve Yzerman. All they added at the trade deadline was Peter Mrazek, a goaltender. Who cares? A backup goaltender at that who didn't even play. And I think they got some fourth-line schmuck who didn't play at all. And he was critical. In the year on meetings, when he was doing his press exit interviews, he said, it's tough to watch other teams adding players, and we stand pat, and then lo and behold, we don't make the playoffs. So it would have been nice if he would have went for it a little bit. This year, he can't say much because they go and they get Justin Falk. They got John Gibson in the offseason, addressed the need of goaltending. The guy was fantastic all season long. You get arguably the best defenseman available at the deadline, minus Quinn Hughes, who was traded before the deadline, but a really good defenseman. You go out and trade a first rounder. So you can't really talk about that Dylan Larkin anymore because he went for it this year. And then you guys still dumped the bed and did not make the playoffs. So what is it? It can't be that. And it got me thinking, why is he changing his tune all of a sudden? And the reason is the Olympics. This guy went to the Olympics. Gosh, where were the Olympics? I can't even think anymore. I'm drawing a brain fart. But he goes to the Olympics and they win the gold medal. The epic finish. He gets the gold medal and they beat Team Canada. What a finish. Fantastic. He comes home. He's riding high. But the thing with the Olympics is you're surrounded by all the other superstars in the league. And maybe he wasn't projected to play, but he ended up playing and he formed a pretty good line with Brock Nelson, JT Miller. Those guys, they succeeded. They were very, 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 very good at what they did. They were a shutdown line. He played up and down the lineup, Dylan Larkin. He surprised some people. So he gets talking. He gets to be around these guys. Gets to be around champions. You know, Matthew Tkachuk's of the world. Quinn Hughes of the world. Not that Quinn's won anything, but he acts like it. He gets chatting with everybody. And then he goes back to Detroit and he realizes, man, we suck. Like, we really do suck. This environment is not good. We don't have enough guys here to win a championship. We have pieces, but it's not the same feeling that I had when we were at the Olympics. I don't get that championship vibe that I got when we were at the Olympics. And so he just starts to think, he's like, gosh, I'm here. Like, I'm here for another 5 years. I'm going to be 30 years old soon. I'm 29, turning 30 next month. This being June, he's turning 30 next month in July. My clock's ticking. I don't have much time in this league. Do I really want to spend the next 5 years in Detroit? I'll be 35. And this team ain't getting any better. We got Justin Falk this year and we totally crapped the bed, missed the playoffs. We were the best team at the Olympic break. We came back and look at us now. We stink. All these teams are passing us by. Do I want to do this for the next 5 years? And it hasn't been a secret that him and Steve Yzerman don't necessarily get along. Steve Yzerman is a very hard-headed, bull-nosed guy. He will not negotiate. He will not take his players' input. It's his world, baby. You're living in it. If you don't like it, get out of the way. That's it. Do you remember his negotiations with Steven Stamkos when Stamkos was looking for a high-end deal? Yzerman was like, yeah, go. Try to find a deal. Good luck. Didn't find one. Had to go back to Tampa Bay. Like, he's a hard-ass, hard-nosed GM. And if you think, you know, Dylan Larkin's going to, you know, hold some sway or hold any leverage on Steve Yzerman, you're crazy. So Dylan's looking at this situation, and he's going, okay, we had the best start ever since I've been in Detroit, and we still couldn't make the playoffs. We had John Gibson, who had an unbelievable season. I don't think he's going to get any better. We added Justin Falk. We had a great lineup and we did not make the playoffs. And then he starts looking at the roster moving forward. Patrick Kane, he might not be back. Andrew Kopp sucks. Our depth isn't there. These young guys, once they start to come around, the Caspers, the Nygaards, the Augustine, the goaltenders, these guys, if and when they become good NHL players, I'm going to be 35. And I could be out the door by the time this team actually becomes a contender, if they become a contender. That's a big if. because he's seen these rebuilding teams not work out. Hello, Ottawa Senators. Not really going well for that team. The Buffalo Sabres had a great year this year. We'll see how it happens next year. And he goes, maybe I need a change of scenery. And he looks at all these other high-end guys changing teams and winning Stanley Cups, and he goes, I wouldn't mind some of that. Mitch Marner, hello, that ain't bad. Nikolaj Ehlers, that ain't bad. Matthew Tkachuk, pretty good. I could get me some of that. And he does the bold move, and he requests a trade from the Detroit Red Wings. He has a full no-move clause, as everybody knows. And the point that really gets me is, okay, we've all discussed the no-trade clause, no-move clause, full no-move clause, partial trade, you know, all that stuff. And six teams, 12 teams, Dylan Larkin, full no-move. Player cannot be traded without player approval. That's it. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. They can't set him down. They can't do anything. Like, he is there. Is he that good? Is he that good? Because he gives us three teams, allegedly. Elliot Friedman. Oh, he's tree. Whatever Elliot says is true. It's gospel. It has to be true. According to him and maybe a couple other sources, he gives Minnesota, Florida, and the Vegas Golden Knights. He, obviously, Stanley Cup contenders. Like, top tier teams. And it just gets me thinking, who the hell does Dylan Larkin think he is? Honestly. The gall of this guy to come out and say, I want to be traded. Those three teams, take it or leave it. And if that's the case, which is what we've heard, but if that's true, this guy's got a set on him. Like, I've been saying this for years. This guy is not a 1A centerman. On a Stanley Cup winning team, he's your second line center. So for the balls on this guy to come out and go, Steve, I want to be traded. Steve, three teams. Hang up the phone. That's it, baby. Three teams. Oh, by the way, the three teams are the Vegas Golden Knights, the Florida Panthers, and the Minnesota Wild. The three of the top five teams in the league. That's it. That's all. Oh, suck it. That's it. Make it happen. Buddy, pump the brakes. Do you honestly think that you have that much leverage and that much pull and you're that good? You've been in this league for 10 years. You broke into the league in 2015-16. It is now 25-26. Dylan, your highest point total is 79, Dingleberry. 79. Your average point total year over year is like 60, 65, I'll give you. In what world do we live in that a guy making $8.7 million who is 30 years old and gets 65 points, 68 points a year can walk into the GM's office or call him or do the, you know, the passive aggressive, get his agent to do his dirty work and say, trade me. Here's three teams. Make it happen, baby. Are you nuts? Are you absolutely crazy? I hope he doesn't get traded. I hope he has to go to training camp and face his teammates and face the media and go, kind of misjudge the situation. My bad. I really want to be here, though. Really excited for the team. You know, that was just a lapse in judgment. You know, I made a kind of a big mistake. But here I am. I'm fully all in, you guys. I talked to Steve and I talked to the guys in the locker room and I'm ready to be here. My heart's in this. And I'm a Detroit Red Wing for life. It's like, buddy, touch grass. You honestly think you are that good to demand a trade and give three teams? That's the part that gets me. Demand a trade all you want. That's fine. There's 31 other teams. You can find a destination. To have the gall to say there's just these three. That's it. And not like, it's not even teams that have a lot of salary. It's not even teams that, like, okay. The Knights could potentially win the cup. They're up 2-1. Do you think when they look at their roster and they're sipping champagne and they go, okay, well, we got Eichel. you know, obviously that's pretty good. We got William Karlsson. Hey, that guy kind of does everything. We got Colton Sissons. We, you know, we got Stone and Hurdle they can throw in the middle. Marner's played center. Do we really need Dylan Larkin? That answer's a big fat heavy no. Then you look at the Florida Panthers, who were coming off of three straight Stanley Cup finals, two wins, and then was it three? I don't think it was three. Maybe it was. But they look at their depth and they go, well, okay, let's look what's going on. We got Barkov. He's coming off the injury, so he's going to be really, you know, amped up. He's going to be ready to go. We got Lundell. We got, who else do we got? We got, I don't even know, Lustarainen. We got all these other guys. Do we really need a centerman? This is our bounce back year. Maybe, but doesn't make sense for us. You know, we only got $10, $12 million in cap space. We got to figure out what to do with Bob. I don't know what we're going to do. No. Do you think that makes sense for them? Absolutely not. Then you look at the Minnesota Wild and you go, okay, we got Kirill Kaprizov. We got Matt Boldy. We got obviously all these other high-end wingers. We've been desperate. Billy Guerin's been very outright. We need a first-line center. And then you start to think, is Dylan Larkin an upgrade from who we've been playing? Like Joel Eriksson-Ek, for as much as I've given him crap, the guy is a 60-point centerman when he's playing on the first line. Like he's pretty good. He's not the best, but he's not the worst. And then you got Ryan Hartman, and you go, Ryan Hartman, is he a first-line centerman? No, but when he's playing with those guys, like he puts up, like last year he had 75. The year before that he had 72. Sorry, I'm looking at his PIMS. I'm an idiot. He had 40 and 45 and 65. That's not terrible. So how much of an upgrade is Dylan Larkin to those guys? Yes, he's a minor upgrade, and he probably puts up, you know, a point per game if he's playing with Kirill Kaprizov. That's not hard to do when you're playing with that guy and Matt Zuccarello. But is he an amazing upgrade over those guys? I'm going to have to say no. So for Dylan Larkin to just lay down those three teams, and I hope he opens up the range a little bit, but it's just like, what in the world are you doing? And to just put a bow on this, I think it's exactly what Steve Yzerman deserves. Because for years, I've been screaming from the rooftop, please do something with this team. Please add, please trade, please sign somebody. And he's been playing this ticky-tacky tertiary game, this outside kind of on the perimeter game. He doesn't want to dip his toe in too much. He signs the second-rate UFAs. He doesn't go out and make the big splash, even though there's guys who reportedly wanted to be on his team, Quinn Hughes of the world. He could have tried to get those guys, and he doesn't. He goes out and he gets a JT Compher and an Andrew Kopp, and Alex DeBrincat wanted to go there, so that really doesn't fall on him. He signs these aging veterans, the JVRs and the Patrick Kanes of the world. He doesn't make the big splash. He went out and signed traded for Justin Falk. He's got one more year on his deal, but he's going to be 35. Signed Ben Chiarot to a terrible deal. Yes, he's got Sider. He's got Edvinson, so he's got some good talent back there, but goaltending situation, kind of up in the air. Their depth isn't there. Like this should be alarms ringing off for the Detroit Red Wings and their ownership group and their president. Like things are not well. But at the end of the day, in my humble opinion, this could potentially be the best thing to happen to the Detroit Red Wings. Because when you look at the roster, when you look at what they've done for the last 4 or 5 years, this team sucks. They're not good. They're not bad enough to get a high-end draft pick. They're not good enough to make the playoffs. If they are, they're going to get washed in the first round. If they do this right, and if they do, you know, give in to this trade demand by a Dylan Larkin, and they go out and they get something back for him and they get some draft picks, this will end up being the biggest blessing for this team, because you can get rid of Kopp after next year. You can re-up DeBrincat or trade him for something good at the end of this season. You can get rid of JT Compher. And you can build around Moritz Seider. You can build around Lucas Raymond. You can build around Edvinson. You can build around Trey Augustin. You have pieces. You have good pieces in this organization. Emmett Finney's a great player. Marco Kasper is up and coming. You need to build around those guys and get some more young guys. And I know it's crazy to start the rebuild again, but it's not working with the Dylan Larkins of the world. You have to reset. And if Dylan Larkin is giving you that out and you can push back this window for another 3-4 years, you have to do it. Because he makes the most money on your team. He's the captain of this team. Get rid of him. Get in a couple prospects. Get in some NHL talent. Get some draft picks. And then kick the can down the road. Yes, this does keep Steve Yzerman there for probably 3 or 4 more years. Because this will be his out. He's like, okay, well, you know, it didn't work. But we're going to make it. We're going to try to make the, you know, chicken salad out of chicken, you know what. But this could end up being the best possible situation for the Detroit Red Wings. Because they suck now. They won't be better next year or the year after that. And Dylan Larkin wants to go, get rid of him. Maybe you get pennies on the dollar, but get rid of him. This guy is not a one first-line center. He's not. He's a second-line center on a Stanley Cup team. Never touched 80 points. He was great in the Olympics. This guy in real life, he ain't that guy. Sorry, pal. You're not that guy. Moving on. The Stanley Cup Finals. Yeah. I touched on it at the beginning of the show. I'm not going to get into the game and all that that's happened because we all know Vegas goes up 4-0. Carolina comes. By the way, how crazy was that? Did anybody else almost turn the game off after it was 4-0? I almost did because, I will confess, I have put up a TV in my house, but it's in my garage. I know I said it a lot. It's a lifestyle choice. I'm unpacking all of my stuff in my garage. I'm still trying to move into my house. It's been a year now, but it's been a long, you know, a lot of stuff to unpack. And I didn't know what to do with my TVs. And my father-in-law gave me one of these little antennas that you can put outside. It's like a sheet of paper. It's made of plastic, obviously. So I put it outside. I drape it out the door and I get some channels. So I get ABC, I get NBC, get some random Peachtree stuff, but I get the hockey games. So I set up my TV in the garage. I hang the thing out my door. I bring a chair in from inside and I watch the games in my garage by myself. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a nice big TV. It's funny how far TVs have come. I bought this TV probably like 10 years ago. Big deal back then. It was like a 48, 50 incher, weighs 1 million pounds. Now you can get them at Costco for like $600 or like 76 inches. And they like as thin as like a wafer. It's insane. But this thing's a monster. But anyway, I set it up. So I'm getting mea culpa. I have a TV. I'm going to maybe take it down, but my lifestyle choice, I'm turning into one of you guys with TV. Can't even say that anymore. But anyways, I've been watching the games. It's just been enjoyable. It's everything we want. And there are moments where I catch myself and I just go, this is really great. Especially this last game, because I started to think, gosh, Vegas is going to take over this series and they're going to win in 5. And it's not going to be very fun. And I'm going to just wish Buffalo was there or Tampa Bay was there or somebody else was there. But then Carolina just gets on a heater and scores 3 in 39 seconds. And then they send it into overtime. It's just a fantastic, fantastic series. I think we have to sit back and just realize how great it is. And then also the carnage that is being inflicted in this series. The physical play is astounding. Cole Smith is absolutely burying guys left, right, and center. It's insane to watch. Keandre Miller's throwing his body around. Jordan Martinook's throwing his body around. Sean Walker's blowing guys up. It's just a war of attrition. Noah Hanifin goes out. Obviously, Braden McNabb comes back. Carrier's out. Everybody is beat up. And it's a beautiful thing to watch. The refs are letting these guys play. It's who's the bigger man? It's a fun game to watch. And it's a nice throwback series that you would get a long time ago where there was hatred, there was animosity. They weren't hitting just to kind of separate the man from the puck. They're hitting to inflict damage. They are hitting to hurt. And you can see it every time someone finishes the puck. You're like, did he separate his shoulder? Did he get his face exploded? Like, is there a broken rib? Because they're hitting to hurt. And if this is the regular season, there's penalties left, right, and center. But thank goodness it's the playoffs because they're letting them play, baby. Like, this is old school hockey. This is 1990s, 1980s. Like, just throw the puck in the corner. Whoever comes out with it is the toughest guy. It's so fun to watch. And the surprising thing is Mitch Marner is just flourishing. For a decade, he was in Toronto and he was a perimeter player. He didn't want to go in the corners. He didn't want to, you know, play that physical game. Yes, he was positionally a well-rounded player, but the guy wasn't a physical player. He's getting in the mix. I'm not saying he's throwing checks, but he's throwing checks, baby. Like, he's throwing his 160 pounds around out there. And he threw the three goals weren't pretty, but the guy gets three goals, one assist. He gets a penalty shot. The drama, the penalty shot. Are you crazy? And Mitch Marner went from maybe not winning the Conn Smythe with Brett Howden scoring goals at will. Now he's secured it. Like it's his Conn Smythe to lose. No, he won't lose it. If the Vegas Golden Knights win the Stanley Cup, it's his. But the question I want to ask, to pose to you, if Carolina wins the Cup, which they very well could, who's the Conn Smythe winner for the Carolina Hurricanes? Sure as hell ain't Freddie Anderson. I think Brendan Bussey starts game four after what he did in the third period in overtime. He was fantastic. Who's the Conn Smythe winner for the Carolina Hurricanes? It ain't the first line. It's not Aho. It's not Svesh. It's not Jarvis. Is it Stankoven, maybe? Taylor Hall, maybe? You tell me, because is it a defenseman? Is it Keandre Miller who's having a great playoffs? Is it? Who is it? I don't know. It's a complete unknown, but it's a beautiful thing. I love watching this series. We got game two tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen. I hope it's another soap opera because it's just been a fantastic thing. We're going to close with this. Reports are coming in that the Edmonton Oilers, they want a coach. And the coach that they want is Mike Babcock. And Mike Babcock, obviously, unceremoniously let go by the Columbus Blue Jackets. Was it this year or was it last year? I can't remember. Gosh, time flies when you're not having fun. But he was snooping through players' phones, allegedly. And, you know, that's a no-no. And so Columbus gassed him. He's been on the schneid for the last year or so. And Edmonton's kicking his tires. And they want to know, is this okay? Because I'm assuming he's still under contract with the Columbus Blue Jackets, because a coach of that caliber, he doesn't just sign a one-year deal. He signs, you know, a long-term deal to go anywhere. So I'm guessing he's still under contract with the Columbus Blue Jackets unless they terminated his deal. So I don't know the gray area there. Not a lot has come out, or maybe I just haven't done any research on it, but it just came across my desk. And it just gets me thinking, would that be a good fit with the Edmonton Oilers? And for a franchise that, two straight Stanley Cup finals, two straight game seven losses, you know, a second round or first round defeat this year. Is the coaching the biggest issue with this team? I don't know. Was Chris Knobloch the biggest impediment for this team to win a Stanley Cup? He got him there 2 years in a row. You know, he did his job. There's only so many different ways you can put out Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. There's only so many different configurations. Would Mike Babcock be able to come in and just magically make Trent Frederick a good hockey player? Would he be able to sprinkle some dust on Matthias Janmark and Isaac Howard and Savoy and Adam Henrique and all these guys and go, okay, poof, you're good hockey players now? Would he be able to take Darnell Nurse under his wing and go, God, boom, you're not going to suck anymore? Yeah, let's go. Evan Bouchard, you're going to be a consistent 60-minute player. Yeah, here we go. I'm the magic man. I don't think so. I don't think this is a big problem for the Edmonton Oilers. I think it's just a distraction from what the issues are in Edmonton that everybody knows. Our goaltenders are absolutely dog atrocious. They're bad. Our defense is terrible. And we have little to no depth. So, yes, getting Mike Babcock, I think, might help a little bit. But you guys, like, what are we doing? Like, the big issue for this team should be, what are we doing with McDavid? We got him for two more years. And Leon Draisaitl said it at the end of his year-end meetings talking to the press. And I love Leon. He calls a spade. He goes, listen, we got this guy for two more years. And we got to make the most of it. We got him on a great contract. We got Zach Hyman on a great contract. The Nuge is on a great contract. Everything after that is just a dumpster fire. Frederick, Podkolzin, Janmark, Samansky, Howard, all these guys suck. And I'm not afraid to say it. Matthias Ekholm is old and slow. Wallman gets paid far too much. Darnell Nurse, I think we all know, that guy sucks. I like Bouchard if he's a second pairing and a number one power play guy. I'm not playing him 30 minutes, but he's a good defenseman. After that, the cupboard's bare. And then Tristan Jarry is an absolute just sieve. Connor Ingram isn't an answer. So, like, there's holes everywhere. You need a coach. And I guess he'd be a distraction. You know, look at the dancing bear over here. Don't pay attention to the terrible team over here. So I guess if that's the idea, then go for it. But Stan Bowman, there's bigger fish to fry, my friend, than firing a Knobloch and hiring a Mike Babcock. I think maybe it brings too much attention to than it needs to be. A high-end profile coach like that, maybe a little more nuance to that, maybe a little less of a boombastic personality to put in that position, but maybe that's what they want. Someone to go head-to-head with McDavid. Now, this team's I'm so negative. This team sucks. It's fantastic. Them and Detroit are just, it's so fun to watch because their fan bases are so passionate and they want the best for them. But it's just like Steve Yzerman, suck it. Suck it hard. The Yzer plan sucks and you guys are absolutely awful. Your captain, hometown boy who dreamed of being a Detroit Red Wing, wants out. He wants out because of you. The Oilers, the team my parents grew up loving. I was born in Edmonton. I want you to do good, but you just can't get out of your own way. And it's fantastic. Toronto, I hope Mitch Marner wins the Conn Smythe. He will. And then I hope he takes that trophy to Toronto and just parades around town. It would just, that's what you get. You egotistical, just brats. Anyways, enough of that. Enough Crown Royal. I'm going to relax. I'm going to edit this podcast and I'm going to have some fun. Thanks everybody for joining me. I hope you enjoyed this content. I'll be back later this week. I'm going to head to Chicago, like I said, playing golf tomorrow. Haven't golfed all year, so we'll see how that goes. People pay to golf with me, and I just suck at it. I don't want to say I suck, but I'm very inconsistent. So we'll see how it goes. Have a couple beers, have some fun. Not too many beers. I got to do a talk. It wouldn't be a good thing to get a little lubed up for my talk. That's when I get in trouble, but anyways, I'm looking forward to game two. I'm looking forward to coming back and chatting with you people, and we'll talk to you later. So have a good day, and thanks for listening. Cheers.